Are you health conscious? Or maybe a vegetarian? Then you can't go past Bean Supreme's great range of quality soy food for good taste and good health. Check out their range of products in your local supermarket and keep listening to Food for Thought on Wednesdays at 4:30pm for great recipes. And you can be sure that Bean Supreme's products are grown and made in an ecologically sound environment. Bean Supreme. Quality, tasty and healthy. Proud sponsors of Food for Thought on Community Radio Hamilton.
Hello, you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton. You could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking about how animal testing in the United Kingdom has reached a 20-year high. A man has been caught keeping more than 90 dogs, and a little boy went out to cuddle his pet lamb and found someone had cut its head off. After that, I'm going to be reading out some local events happening in Hamilton. To start off the show, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Rise Against from the album The Sufferer and the Witness. That was The Drones by Rise Against, and you're tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton. You could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. If you have any questions about veganism or animal rights, then send me an email at sam.foodforthought@gmail.com. The number of animals used in scientific research last year rose by 15% in the previous year, bringing the total to nearly 3.6 million, the greatest number of animals involved in experiments for almost 20 years. Statistics released yesterday by the Home Office showed that the number of experiments involving animals that were started in 2008 also rose by about 14% to just under 3.7 million procedures, an increase that closely matched the total number of animals used. This represents a 39% increase in animal experiments since Labour came into power in 1997. A dramatic increase in government science funding over the past 10 years and a rise in the amount of private research carried out by pharmaceutical companies based in Britain have helped fuel an increase in the demand for experiments involving animals. Lord West, the Home Office Minister responsible for regulating animal research, said, "As the regulator, we ensure that a proper balance between animal welfare and scientific advancement is maintained and that the regulatory system is effective, efficient and impartial." Note that he says that there's a proper balance between animal welfare and scientific advancement. Scientific advancement will always come first in cases like this, which is exactly why there are separate animal welfare acts for regular non-commercial animals and laboratory animals. Mice, rats, and other rodents accounted for the vast majority of the animals used in 2008, some 77% of the total. There was a 9% increase in the use of mice compared to 2007, but much of the overall increase in the number of animals was due to an 85% increase in the use of fish, which rose by 278,000. The increased use of mice was associated with biological research, applied studies for human medicine, or dentistry and breeding. But this increase was partly accounted for by a change in the stage of development at which fish fry were counted, says the Home Office Report Statistics of Scientific Procedures on Living Animals, Great Britain, 2008. Other animals have also experienced significant increases in experimentation, including amphibians, sheep, turkey, and ferrets. The number of monkeys also rose by 1,050, an increase of 33%. Animal rights groups condemned the increases on the ground that they represent a betrayal of the avowed promises by the government to reduce the amount of animal suffering in scientific research by a policy of replacing, reducing, and refining animal experimentation where possible. But Simon Festing, Executive Director of Understanding Animal Research, said the increase shows Britain is doing more and more research to find solutions to serious diseases. This is a continuation of the trends which saw funding of biomedical research increase in real terms by over 50% in the decade to 2006, while animal procedures increased by just 12.5% over the same period. Now, a lot of people use the argument that it's for medical reasons in order to justify animal experimentation, although the reality is, a lot of the time, animal experimentation simply doesn't work. Here's a quick interview with Michael Morris, a AUT professor, about why vivisection doesn't work. Today on the show, we have Michael Morris. Michael was involved with Campaign Against Factory Farming for 3 years and was the chair and spokesperson on science. He also has a PhD in zoology and incorporates animal abuse issues into his lectures at Auckland University. Michael, roughly how many animals are experimented on per year in New Zealand?
I don't know the exact figures. I think it's over 100,000. And I think about 10,000 of those are severe or very severe suffering.
Most people are opposed to cosmetic testing on animal, but not many people are opposed to testing on animals for medical purposes. Can you explain a bit about why animal testing is scientifically incorrect?
Yes. If you're testing on one species of a very complex creature in order to look at a disease or a drug that's in another equally complex creature, that doesn't actually tell you very much. And the best analogy I can make would be that I run a computer with Ubuntu, and people would say, well, a computer is just a complex being that does certain things, and it shouldn't matter what operating system you use, but of course it does. And, you know, software that works for Windows would not work for Ubuntu or for Mac. And it's exactly the same with humans and animals. I mean, we realize that because we have separate training for people wanting to become doctors or vets. And yet, when it comes to vivisection, we think that if something works in a rat, it'll work in a human, or if it's toxic in a rat, it'll be toxic in a human, which is totally false.
So you've talked about why animal experimenting isn't scientifically correct, but what are the alternatives?
I'm not sure if you could really use the term alternative. It's like saying, what's the alternative to voodoo or crystal ball? If it doesn't work, then it's pointless to talk about an alternative to something that doesn't work. But if you're thinking about ways of testing drugs, which is usually what animal models are for, or diseases, there's a number of alternatives, from computer modeling through to cell cultures of human cells, through to epidemiology, looking at how the disease actually progresses, post-mortems. You know, if somebody dies from a disease, you can cut up the bodies and see what the causes are, and you can learn from that. And a lot of places are now finding that they have less money for post-mortems, probably because they're spending money on animal testing. So, yeah, there are a number of better ways of testing drugs and diseases than testing on animals.
Where can people go if they want more information on vivisection?
Well, there's a number of sites, some are better than others. One I like is the Europeans for Medical Progress, which has just changed its name to Safer Medicines Campaign, and it's at curediseases.net. There's also an American equivalent, Americans for Medical Progress, which shouldn't be confused with Americans for Medical Advancement, which is pro-animal testing. But if you want a balanced view, I'd suggest people could look at that one as well and then make up their own mind.
Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would like to say that in the past, it was possible that animal experiments did do some good because at the very gross level, a human and an animal are the same. Just at the very gross level, two computers are the same, no matter what software they use. But we're now looking at the way that drugs or interact on certain genes or enzymes, and they're totally different between species and even between individuals of the same species. For instance, we find that men and women have got different painkiller receptors, so experimenting on women would not actually tell you much about the way men work and vice versa, and children and adults react differently. So as we learn more about genetics and about the mechanisms and the complexity of life, I think we're going to find that animal testing is going to become more and more obsolete.
Thanks for your time.
Okay.
That was Michael Morris from the Auckland University of Technology. Now I'm going to be taking a short break and playing a little bit of Teenagers by My Chemical Romance, whose lead guitarist, Frank Aero, is vegetarian. After that, I'm going to be talking about how a man kept 90 dogs in his house and a pet lamb who was beheaded in a paddock.
Are you health conscious? Or maybe a vegetarian? Then you can't go past Bean Supreme's great range of quality soy food for good taste and good health. Check out their range of products in your local supermarket and keep listening to Food for Thought on Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. for great recipes. And you can be sure that Bean Supreme's products are grown and made in an ecologically sound environment. Bean Supreme. Quality, tasty and healthy. Proud sponsors of Food for Thought on Community Radio.
Gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk, 'cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They're gonna rip up your heads, your aspirations to shreds. Another cog in the murder machine. troubled and hurt. What you got under your shirt? We'll make them pay for the things that they did. They said, I'll teenage scare the living shit out of me. They can care less as long as I wanna bleed. So talk in your clothes.
That was Teenagers by My Chemical Romance, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton. You could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. If you have any questions about veganism or animal rights, then send me an email at sam.foodforthought@gmail.com. A man kept more than 90 dogs, mostly chihuahuas, in a suburban Detroit home was filled with feces and trash, authorities said. Neighbors in the past had complained of an odor, but this week was the first time officials got inside. On Wednesday and Thursday, crews wearing masks to help them breathe carried dogs from the two-story home. There's trash from floor to ceiling, says Nick, the director of residential services for the city. There's feces and urine throughout the entire house, basement, first level, second level. City workers, alongside with Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, removed 42 feces-covered dogs from the home in Dearborn on Wednesday. They returned Thursday and found about 50 more dogs. The 56-year-old man who was living in the house was taken to a local hospital for observation. His family, which lives in Florida, was involved in his care and cooperating with officials. The man's sister told officials that she believed he had initially had two dogs in the home and that they may have reproduced. Misdemeanor animal cruelty charges were possible, but Nick said the man appears to have mental health problems. Crews pulled bags full of trash from the home to clear pathways inside, and dogs sat in cages outside before being taken to the shelter. The house was deemed unfit for human habitation, and the city likely will seek to tear it down. On Friday, Nick said police were called to the home by a neighbor who spotted some kittens in a hole in the backyard, and the officer who responded reported that it seemed like there were many dogs inside. Animal control authorities got the case, and after obtaining a warrant, investigators went inside Wednesday. Sometimes you have no clue how many pets are in a house, Nick said. Okay, now I'm going to be playing a little bit of Good Charlotte from their album The Young and the Hopeless. 3 out of 5 of their band members are vegetarian. After that, I'm going to be talking about a pet lamb who is beheaded in a paddock.
Hard days make me, hard nights shape me. I don't know, they somehow save me. And I know I'm making something out of this life they call nothing. I take what I want, take what I need. They say it's wrong, but it's right for me. I won't look down, won't say I'm sorry. I know that only God can judge me. And if I make it through today, will tomorrow be the same? Am I just running? this world and I don't care.
That was The Young and the Hopeless by Good Charlotte, and you are tuned in to Community Radio Hamilton. Food for thought, you could be listening on 106.7 FM, 1206 AM, or online at communityradio.co.nz. A little boy went out to cuddle his pet lamb and found that somebody had cut its head off. Mother Mandy Kalin is asking, who could do such a sadistic thing? The Dorset Horn Ram Lamb was about 6 months old and had been bottle reared by the Free Children. Braith, aged 4.5, had claimed it for his own and named it Sean, after the Wallace and Gromit character. On Tuesday evening, Braith went out with his dad, Jason, to feed the animals on their lifestyle block. Sean wasn't running about on his chain. "Dad, why hasn't Sean got no head?" Braith asked. "Why isn't he moving?" Sean was dead, and his head with its little horns was missing. They later concluded the head must have been wrapped in a towel taken from the clothesline because there was no blood. Nobody was home during the afternoon, and Sean had no fear of humans. Mrs. Kalin said she wanted the sick person responsible for the killing to know that this was a little boy's pet and he had made the horrible discovery for himself. "I wanted that person to feel bad about the terrible thing he has done. The kids are petrified. It's not something we can hide from them. We've had to tell them what happened." The other sheep in the paddock, which was also on a chain, wasn't touched. If the lamb had been killed for meat while they were grazing on the roadstand side, I could possibly understand this, but not this. It's not something a normal, straight person would ever do. Okay, get that again. If the lamb had been killed for meat, I could possibly understand this. So when someone kills because they enjoy killing, then it's a sadistic thing to do. But when someone kills because they like the taste of something, it's just, in her own words, something a normal straight person would do. There's going to be some events coming up in Hamilton that I'm just going to talk to you about quickly. The first is that there's going to be several vegan potlucks. If you're interested in these, you can call Loretta on 07-825-8695. That's 07-825-8695. Also, there's going to be a Krishna Fest every Thursday at 6 p.m. at 28 Sheridan Street in Silverdale. All the food is going to be vegan. Social and environmental activist group holds meetings at Gora Good Food every Wednesday at 1 p.m. For those of you who don't know, Gora Good Food is in the Student Union building at the Waikato University. It's pretty easy to find. Just driving to the university and there's all these big signs up that are pointing towards Gora Good Food. Basically, for those of you who don't know, Gora Good Food is an all-vegan restaurant at the Waikato University, and the food is absolutely delicious. I highly recommend going there. I'm going to be finishing off the show with a little bit of Goldfinger from the album Open Your Eyes.
Open your eyes. force you to. If you don't look, I'll force you to. If you don't look, I'll force you to.
Get the inside word on the Saturday edition of the Waikato Times with the team from Community Focus every Saturday at 9:40 a.m. Then pick up your copy for the Waikato's Best Weekend Read, now featuring Community Radio Hamilton's weekly program schedule. The Waikato Times, as Waikato as it gets.